Turner. It's the 19th of September. Monday, September 19th, 2005. Much going on, including, well, I have a little problem with my system again, so I'm on the phone line. And my friends out there that do the work, I hope they'll understand that I need their services very shortly to get this thing straightened out. We're going to work on, with my staff or my associates, funding for the shortwave to continue on WWCR for a couple months at least to make sure we keep the listenership in place. I have sponsors coming on board eventually, as that is in the works right now. Vitamin Research Products, one of them. And so I think it's only imperative that we just keep this listenership in place the way it is as the new frequency irons itself out, listeners. So I'm trying to get that funding in place so we can continue here. It only makes sense to do this with the large listening audience that we have at this point in time, and I certainly see that by the emails I've been receiving. One of those emails happens to be, why do you disrespect Americans by spelling it the way you do, meaning American with a K? And he says, why do you disrespect Americans by spelling it the way you do? I find your website kind of interesting, by the way. Keyword is kinda. Have a great day. Obviously, he has not seen the movie America with a K in 1987. Obviously, he doesn't know the 45 communist goals written into the congressional record, or read into the congressional record in 1963. All 45 communist goals well underway. 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. American expose, America with a K. If it was America with a C, American with a C, listeners, what am I exposing? That's the point. I'm exposing America with a K, listeners. And this is the way it's been from the start. It only makes sense to do it this way if you've done your research. Most haven't. This individual obviously has not. This individual doesn't understand the Vietnam War, the maneuvers of that, the maneuvers of the Korean War. The State Department publication 7277, which is in the U.S. code, to completely disarm the world. These people in this hurricane-ravaged area, they've all been disarmed. And I have something from G. Edward Griffin that many of you on the Internet realize is very pointed and pertinent. I'm going to cover that today. The U.S. government did not fail its mission in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. It's an analysis by G. Edward Griffin. I have more emails here from individuals that's very, very revealing. And we'll cover this as we can today, people. But weather modification, that is the key right now, listeners. You've got to learn about Agenda 21. You've got to learn about Chapter 26, recognizing and strengthening the role of indigenous people in their communities. That is why people are coming into this country under the guise of an Executive Order 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties, which is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, one of them, where it says on Article 13, everyone has the right to freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each state. We have a special guest this week. Jim McCanny should be with us Friday and more. Stay with me. I'll talk about it on the other side. Of what we call American Exposé, listeners. I'm Chris Gerner, and another email sent to me. This individual says, I will use your website to study the Hegelian philosophy, and he asks, do you believe we will be invaded on a large scale by UN troops? I believe that possibility is in place. I believe we've already been invaded. I believe these sea crate containers coming from communist China and other sea crate containers coming from other countries that are hardly inspected by customs. They say 2% are barely inspected. Well, customs whistleblowers have said less than that are even inspected. But free deployment of equipment could very well be on the plate. The Security Council branch of the UN system is well in place. But I wouldn't be so concerned about that as I would be concerned about exposing the reality of weather modification. I'm certain that is the way we have to go today. As you do your research, you'll find the same thing. More people are coming up with the information and research. A lady named Mary Sue Halliburton, that's an interesting name, Halliburton, isn't it? Weather modification, a long-established, though secretive, reality. And Dennis has put it up on the website for everyone to see at AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. So we'll cover that. But in the meantime, G. Everett Griffin, well, let's do this before we go any further. This influx of migration, which is illegal immigration, according to Frosty Wooldridge and Glenn Spencer, these other people, this is all sanctioned by the State Department, listeners, and the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Here we see, dated September 15th, from the business section of the Oklahoman, car parts plant to cut 270 jobs. Auto parts maker Arvin Meritor Incorporated is cutting 270 jobs from its Chickasha plant as it moves the shock and strut portion of its manufacturing operations to its facility in Querétaro, Mexico. Employees were told Wednesday that 270 of the more than 580 jobs at the plant will be cut starting this month. They were not told which jobs would have to be eliminated by November. Company spokeswoman Krista McClure said it has not been determined which of the 380 company workers and 210 temporary employees will be let go. But there's a perfect example. You have the pawns from Mexico. We're all pawns in this game, people. The pawns from Mexico coming to America to better their lives, supposedly. And yet our business and industry is moving below the border and overseas. Now, listeners, if that's not the concoction for chaos, I don't know what is. And that's why, at this juncture, the best way to expose what's going on is weather modification. Now, according to G. Edward Griffin, and if you want to call in today, you can. We're going to have Jim Beers tomorrow. Friday we'll have Jim McCanny, I believe, sort of indirectly through the phone machine, have set up Friday for Jim McCanny. Scott Stevens will not respond to me, so if you want Scott Stevens on, you'll have to find him for yourself and email him and request that he come on. I'm trying to get Joan Vion on this week. So I'm doing the best I can, put it this way. But Scott Stevens apparently does not like what he sees on my website, or our website, Dennis and Darren and myself. So according to G. Edward Griffin, he states on September 16th there's been widespread criticism of the response of U.S. officials to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. The tone of these complaints is that the authorities failed to do their job quickly enough. Some commentators have said this is a racial issue, claiming that the government would have acted more promptly if the majority of victims had been white instead of black. And keep in mind, this is for the shortwave listeners, because most of you internet listeners have seen this information. Others have said it was an issue of the rich against the poor, the oil companies against the consumers, the land developers and contractors seeking to force people out of the city so they can rebuild without interference at taxpayers' expense. Democrats have said the problem is that Republicans were in control and Republicans are indifferent to the plight of the common man. In news coverage of this tragedy, the most significant events often were buried beneath a blanket of heart-wrenching stories of personal survival, scenes of awesome destruction, reports of looting, and interviews with experts. However, the key to understanding can be found in a list of news headlines, most of which did not make it into mainstream coverage. These reports make it clear that the government did not fail to respond in a timely fashion. The problem was that it did respond, but in such a way as to actually hinder rescue operations. There were too many instances for this to be merely a mistake or bureaucratic snafu. There's a clear pattern here that cannot be denied. Why this should be, well, so discussed at a moment, but first, the record. And certainly he has articles here. FEMA tells first responders not to respond until told to do so. That was on August 29th. FEMA won't accept Amtrak's help in evacuation. That's also the same date. On September 1st, offer of helicopters for rescue work is rejected at September 1st. And here's another article entitled, FEMA blocks 500 Florida airboat pilots from rescue work, September 2nd. As well as FEMA in Chicago sent just one truck, September 2nd. FEMA bars morticians from entering New Orleans, another article from Tri-Valley Central. FEMA blocked 500 boat citizen flotilla from delivering aid. That was September 3rd from the Daily KOS. September 3rd, Homeland Security won't let Red Cross deliver food from the Post-Gazette, dated September 3rd. Here, the pattern continues with FEMA fails to utilize Navy ship with 600-bed hospital on board from the Chicago Tribune, dated September 4th. Another one, FEMA cuts local emergency communication phone line. That's from Meet the Press, September 4th. FEMA turns away experienced firefighters, Daily Coast, AOS, September 5th. From the New York Times, dated September 5th as well, FEMA turns back Walmart supply truck. The pattern continues. FEMA prevents Coast Guard from delivering diesel fuel, dated September 5th also on at the New York Times, or from the New York Times. Navy pilots who rescued victims were reprimanded. Navy pilots who rescued victims were reprimanded from the New York Times, September 7th. U.S. government turns back German plane with 15 tons of aid from the Star Tribune, September 10th. And last but not least, from the Salt Lake Tribune, September 12th, FEMA declines volunteer firemen for rescue operations, uses them to distribute public relations pamphlets. So, according to J. Edgar Griffin, so what is going on here? Were agents of the federal government trying to kill American citizens? Were they trying to obtain the maximum death toll, thus the highest level of human suffering? It would seem that way at first. But I would like to suggest that this incredible behavior stems from something else, something equally upsetting. The primary job of the military, FEMA, and Homeland Security is not to protect the American people in times of emergency, but to protect the government in times of emergency and keep it functioning. Their primary assignment is not to rescue people, but to control them. Their directive is to relocate families and businesses, confiscate property, commandeer goods, direct labor and services, and establish martial law. The reason FEMA and Homeland Security failed to carry out an effective rescue operation is that it was not their primary mission. And the reason they blocked others from doing so is that any operations not controlled by the control of, by the central authority are contrary to their directives. Their objective was to bring the entire area under the control of the federal government. And this, they succeeded in doing very well. They did not fail in New Orleans. They were a huge success. Once this simple fact is understood, everything that happened in the wake of Katrina becomes understandable and logical. If there are new terrorist attacks against the United States or Great Britain or any other country, what we witnessed in New Orleans may have been a glimpse into the future of what was once a civilized world. And this is why I held back for so long about all these articles because I was waiting for someone else to do it, which I like to do. I like others to bring about the picture in play. And certainly G. Edward Griffin, the author of The Shadows of Power in 1962, the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, I believe it was written in 1990, early 1990s, I believe, maybe 1995, Creature from Jekyll Island. So getting the picture in place, everyone's responsibility, understanding the federal system, understanding weather modification that keeps coming at us. Now we have lovely Rita. Hurricane Rita. What's next? They can steer them away from this country. They can be steered out to the Atlantic Ocean, out of harm's way, listeners. So this is the point of the problem. FEMA in control, federal government in control, the New World Order in play. Welcome back to the broadcast. Keep in mind the directions are well in place. Robert Mueller to Congress, February 16th, stated that we are terrorists. Right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat to America today. Now, this is dated February 16th of this year. Why are we a threat? Federal government, listeners. Anti-government. We're anti-corruption in federal government. We're anti-corruption in government. The only point is that you take it back to the Federal Reserve System. And to me, that's where it has to start. And that would be December 23rd of 1913. That's when the Federal Reserve was enacted. And the Progressive Income Tax enacted. And in the meantime, as a result of what's happened here with this weather anomaly, Katrina, as Rita's on board now, here we see Tribe gives $443,991. Let's see, fuel sales, casino profits, and donations resulted in, once again, $443,991 check from the Choctaw Nation to the American Red Cross for Hurricane Katrina relief. Here we see Oklahoma City Company, a LaMode Incorporated, has given $530,427 for Hurricane Katrina relief efforts. Here we see the National Refining Horse Association donated $5,000 to the Reining Horse Sports Foundation Hurricane Katrina relief effort Friday. So we have all sorts of people contributing to the relief effort, decimating their bank accounts. We have people bringing in families to their families that can't afford to do so. So we have directions coming into place, building up to the further demise of our society today. Migration coming from below the border, which is a big problem. Always has been a big problem. Well, according to the State Department, they can do whatever they want. They say, from the State Department, there are more than 175 million migrants in the world today. People leave their countries for many reasons, including war and civil conflict, desire for economic improvement, family reunification, and environmental degradation. But where does that come from, environmental degradation? Weather control, people. Weather modification. Drought inducement, listeners. It's a reality that can't be washed away. The press never covers this. United States supports safe, orderly, and legal migration. All legal. Well, once again, what's happening below the border is legal. According to the State Department, it's not. I doubt that. Our policy on international migration focuses on human rights of migrants, protection of asylum seekers. There it is. Protection of asylum seekers, right out of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, for President Clinton signed Executive Order 13107 of December 10th, 1998. Implementation of human rights treaties, people, coming right out of the State Department. They say the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration works closely with the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Labor, and relevant international organizations. The International Organization on Migration, the IOM, and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees to advance U.S. migration policy goals. People. State Department, U.N. system, listen. This is creating chaos. Weather modification, the wars. This is making people want to leave their country. Decimation of our economy going below the border and overseas. While people try to come to this country to better their lives, to work in the service end of our economy, people. Let's see about taking some phone calls in a moment or two. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. You've got to realize that if you don't study Agenda 21, you're not going to get the total picture. And Chapter 26 of Agenda 21, recognizing and strengthening the role of indigenous people and their community. Very, very, very important, people, to understand what's going on here. We had Border 21. It was originally Border Region 21, the international zone between the Mexico and U.S. It was 62.5 miles on both sides of the border. Well, by executive order, it was increased to 150 miles on our side of the border. So you have this, now it's called Border 2012, according to Darren Weeks' research. And I think he's correct, absolutely. He would not be saying these things unless he researches them. Darren Weeks, my webmaster and partner with Dennis at the website AmericanExplosé.com. This is the whole point of the problem. This border region is an international zone in fulfillment of dropping the borders to a North American continent. It's under the guise of regionalism of the United Nations system. It's all by design, people. And this is where you have to get on the learning curve if you're not there yet. 800-313-9443. We'll start taking phone calls and see where we go from there. It is American Exposé. It is Monday, the 19th of September, 2005. Stay with us. We'll be right back. People, let's take some phone calls. Sheldon in Arizona, welcome to the show, Sheldon.
Hey, Chris. Were you still going to bring on Nick Bigot as a guest this week?
I haven't attempted to get him.
One person I would highly recommend for a weather control guest would be Mark McCandlish. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I have not. You know him?
All I know is he's located in California. My friend had told me about him.
I'm kind of burning out on chasing down guests. They're very hard to get. Listen, if I had a producer, that would be wonderful. You know, I produced for free for Anthony Hilder for a whole year in 1995 before he even had a show. And I kind of got upset with him because he interrupted the guest so much. And that's why I started my own show, so I could have a person come on the air like me and keep my mouth shut while the guest would be talking. And he wouldn't be interrupted. But producing is not a very difficult job. It's just something that someone needs to take on and do. And it's not that difficult a job to do. It's just that I've got so many things going on. It's very hard for me to chase these people down. Like Scott Stevens, I email him 3 times, and he stopped responding back to me. Well, he's gone to my website, and he sees something on my website that he doesn't like. Maybe even the name American Exposé, American spelled with A. Well, I'm sorry if he doesn't understand the big picture in place. I do.
I do too, Chris. The reason I called today is, do you remember me calling the last time where I brought up the fact that every time the space shuttles come back from orbit, the weather changes, and then 3 weeks after Discovery got back, the hurricane happened?
Go ahead.
And then I seen Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson's face in the Mission Control Center talking to the crew during their flight, and then after I seen her face again after the shuttle come home at the welcome home ceremony in Houston, it's as if she had to commend the crew on their efforts for maybe doing something up in space that we weren't privy to, and then here she's the sponsor of this weather control bill, and now this really blew me away last night. I was at the law library using the internet, and I copied this off the internet because the printer wasn't working. The space shuttles are being utilized for space-based weather engineering and mind control actions against the American population. And an AP art report carried in the September 11, 1994 Evansville Courier stated that on September 10th of that year, the Discovery, well, what a coincidence, the Discovery just came back also, utilized a powerful green laser directed at key sections of North America and other parts of the globe, and this was a $25 million laser machine which flew for the first time. And pulses from the shuttle's laser bounced off thick high clouds over a tropical storm in the first atmospheric study of its kind. Ground controllers directed the lasers at Tropical Storm Debbie in the Caribbean as the shuttle flew 160 miles overhead. And this is also in the Defense News, which I believe is a military publication, September 26th of that year.
Very, very interesting, huh?
Yeah.
That's good research on your behalf.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, I've always been a fanatic of the space shuttle stuff, so I've really changed my mind now after reading this yesterday.
So what do you think is going on in space?
I think...
we're going back to the moon in 13 years.
Well, my friend in Wisconsin, she had told me when the shuttles go up, they do something to one of the satellites and up in orbit. They change a program or something, which does something to the weather somehow.
I see. Interesting.
I just wanted to throw that in because that hasn't been mentioned on any of the radio shows.
Yeah. If you want to send me a copy of that article, that'd be great.
Okay, Chris. Thanks a lot.
Got my address on the website.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you.
Very, very interesting, and certainly I'm steadfast in my thoughts here, listeners. Weather modification, weather engineering has to be exposed, listeners. Has to be done. John in Florida, welcome to the broadcast, John.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention a couple things. Being in Florida, and I've been driving around the state a lot lately, I noticed that the people in Punta Gorda, which got clobbered last year by hurricanes, are still living in mobile homes set up by FEMA.
Oh.
And people don't realize that some of the places that the hurricanes hit last year are still, you have no access to them. So if anyone thinks that New Orleans is going to get cleaned up anytime fast, they're mistaken.
Good
point. Not to mention that what they did with the New Orleans evacuees is they sent 300 here, 400 there, 200 here. And if those people were carrying anything as far as influenza or anything with an incubation period,
yep,
anywhere they go, they're taking that with them.
And time for vaccination,
exactly,
for the entire population.
Now they're letting people back into New Orleans, I guess, on a temporary basis or whatever it might be.
Yep.
All the stuff that's still contaminated, who knows what they're going to be carrying out of there with them. And they're going to disperse into the population as well. So what you have is, you know, one thing that's going to happen after the other. So even if they start cleaning this up and the economy starts turning, then we have this health issue that on top of that, and then another war on top of that. I mean, it's something that, you know, doesn't take a mastermind to figure out if you do one thing like this after the other that you are going to crush this economy pretty quick.
There you have it. You're right on the money.
So,
the problem is in place. And so here we have engineering of catastrophes without being able to put the blame on anybody but act of God.
Correct. And you have now since Katrina happened, and since we have all this humongous war defense budget in place, now you're going to be like, well, we have to have inflation, or we have to have a way to fund these rescue efforts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just out of control. And you can see it in the price of gold. I mean, when I looked at the price of gold this morning, my jaw dropped again for 2 days in a row now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
What is the price of gold?
Well, it just went down a tiny bit, but it's 468, 467.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's almost in the last month doubled what, you know, it's made all year. So,
well,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John. Thanks for your call. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. You know, there's this document that Larry sent, which I saw back in the 90s, Initiative for Echo 92 Earth Charter. Very, very important people. The time is pressing. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968. Limits to Growth was written in 1971. Global 2000 was written in 1979. But insufficient progress has been made in population reduction. It all makes sense when you connect the dots that this is very, very legitimate information. And they talk so much about this, and I should cover this. I covered it on the other broadcast I do, but I should cover it on this broadcast. One of the excerpts out of this, under the title, Therefore the Following Policy Must Be Implemented, Security Council of the UN, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation power, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its surplus on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for population reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council, by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit, items of trade including food and medicine, or by military force when required. Well, what did we have down there in this hurricane-ravaged area done by Katrina? FEMA, National Guard, Canadian troops, Mexican troops. What do you say, listeners? The invasion's begun. Foreign troops in America has begun. I believe we have John in Arizona with us. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I want to say we are actually under attack, Chris. We are basically at war with the United States government right now. And Americans better wake up real fast. I just did some research today. The Montgomery Herald down in, I think it's Louisiana or Alabama, one of the two, is reporting that the U.S. Coast Guard actually on the weekend of Labor Day actually were doing, believe it or not, boat searches. And they, I don't know if you had read this over the air, but they actually knocked down a couple of people's boats in the middle of the night. You know, people were sleeping in their boats. These were like sleeping type cabin boats.
Got it.
They actually did a search and seizure of their, not seizure, but searches of their boats under the USA Patriot Act.
What were they looking for?
Nothing.
Oh, they were looking for weapons, weren't they?
I don't know what they were looking for, but it didn't really say in the article. But then it said that the guy, basically the owner of the boat, was very upset, and he says this is appearing like Nazi Germany. He said to the Coast Guard agents.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, they had six other agents on the boat dock with M16 machine guns.
You bet.
So, I mean, we're at war, man.
I'm sorry to say that you're correct.
We're at war, and Americans better wake up real quick.
The number one goal here is to disarm the population.
I know it. It's coming real fast.
Yep.
You know, and you had mentioned before your book, The Shadows of Power. I've read that book.
Yeah, that was G. Edward Griffin in 1962.
Yeah, I've read it, and I'll tell you, it's a good book. I would recommend anybody to read that book. In there it says that the globalists actually use their best case scenarios, they use terrorism. They like to use terrorism because it's unprovable. You can't prove who's doing the terrorism, and they're using that to destabilize the United States. That's their main goal right now, is to completely destabilize the United States.
There you go.
So,
you're right. That is the point, is to decimate us.
Yep.
Jobs disappearing below the border and overseas have been going on for over 10 years.
Yep.
And here you've got the pawns from Mexico coming to better their lives in America. And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to do the burger-flipping jobs, the service jobs, the janitorial jobs, things like this, the construction jobs for pennies on the dollar, so the real construction workers in America can't work. It's a well laid out Gratitude.
Well, and that explains, Chris, why they're building the concentration camps, because they know they are preparing. They know Americans aren't going to put up with this forever. So they're putting their infrastructure in place before America wakes up.
Correct.
So it's all being laid out right before our eyes.
Well done.
All right. See ya.
Thank you, John. I can't disagree with what he's saying. And he reports that the jackbooted thugs are searching boats, that area. Well, they want the firearms, listeners. That's number one. They're looking for the guns. We have to be disarmed. That's number one to keep in mind. State Department Publication 727 says it. We're supposed to be disarmed completely in a peaceful world. Public Law 87-297 from 1961 put it into place. In 1989, it was upgraded by Public Law 101-216. This is the point. Your firearms rights are number one. If you lose them, it's all over. Fight for your Second Amendment rights, listeners. And wouldn't it be nice to live under a constitutional republic, which we've never lived under? Paul in Florida, welcome to the show. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I'm down here on Westry, Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And we're getting ready for the storm down here.
You're getting ready for lovely Rita.
Yeah, and I'm watching, I get the volume turned down, I'm watching Channel 7 now, and just a few minutes ago they had Ed Rappaport on. He's the deputy director of the National Hurricane Center, and he had the storm, the most probable course is going to be for him, is it's going to go right across the southern tip of the peninsula, just a little north of the Keys, which would include us, because most of the weather's in the north end. Okay, and he had it, interestingly enough, going across the Gulf and twisting north and piling right into what looked like to me Houston. I'm not up in my Texas geography, but it looked like it was going into Houston. And isn't that where all the refineries are?
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, and that's where all the refugees, you know, and I've been like 75% convinced that this is weather manipulation. And if that thing slams into Houston, I'm going to 100%. Something's up.
It's got to be. It's got to be. And this is why it's so important to spread the word, don't you think?
Of course, and I don't know what to expect. We're probably going to lose power. We're probably going to get winds probably 40, 50 miles an hour up here. But it still wobbles when it moves, so it could very well go farther north or maybe a little farther south. But I think this thing is headed for Houston, it looks like to me.
Well, just the fact that they can steer them, they can steer them away from harm's way. And obviously they're being steered in harm's way.
I mean, the question for me is now, though, who is doing it? I mean, who benefits? Is it the Chinese? Is it the Russians? Now, I know the Russians have the technology. In fact, they were way ahead of us when it came to weather control and all this HAARP business. Our HAARP thing up there in Alaska, that's low-tech now. That's just about obsolete. But I'm just wondering, given, like I said, if it goes into Houston, I'll be 100% convinced. Okay, the question now is who is doing it and who stands to benefit the most? Granted, there are several parties that would stand to benefit, or are they are in collusion? That's the main, that's my main question. The truth, I don't know. You know, several people have motives.
Well, keep in mind that we don't know what the working at the UN system the way we should.
Yeah.
That the Security Council meets behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Russia and China are paramount in the Security Council branch of the UN system. There's evidently mandates for population reduction, according to this initiative from the ECHO 92 Earth Charter.
Sure.
And this is what Larry sent to me, and he sent it to other talk show hosts. I don't know whether they're covering it or not, but when you connect all the dots to this, it's got to be at the State Department and Security Council of the UN system. My thought.
Yeah, it could be, but it's you know, for the immediate future, we just have to, I just really want to see. Now, I understand there are other oil refineries up and down the Texas coast, i.e., Corpus Christi, Galveston, that area there. But I'm not sure where the preponderance of oil refineries are. I believe they're in Houston, but I'm not sure. If anybody out there maybe would like to call in and give us a heads up around if somebody's listening in the Houston area, or the Texas coast. If there are more oil refineries in Houston, obviously, they're going to go for that one.
We'd appreciate that information, wouldn't we?
Yeah, if somebody out there wants to give a call. Well, anyway, that's all I got. We got a generator here, and we're all set. I'm not worried about me. It's just a couple days down the road. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, I sure appreciate your thoughts. You were John?
Excuse me?
You were John?
John?
Is your name John?
No, Paul.
Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. I just wanted to make sure who I was talking to.
Yeah.
You're tuned in very well.
Yeah, you're coming in. Your shortwave is coming in beautiful today.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We're going to try and keep the funding in place for the frequency.
Oh, did you mention a new frequency?
Yeah, we're moving to 11920, which is a different network.
Oh, a different network.
11920.
Okay, is it going to be the same transmitter or a different one?
It's going to be a different one.
Okay.
It's going to be a different one, and you have to keep your heads up about that.
Okay, I'll put it in the memory bank here on my radio.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
We'll be back to continue, listeners. And your phone call is 800-313-9443. Stay with us. We'll return. Edition of the Oklahoman, appealing for God to help with, quote, the difficult work that lies ahead, end quote. President Bush on Saturday described a hopeful and vibrant future for the hurricane-battered Gulf Coast and the people there who lost everything in the storm. Quote, in the life of our nation, we have seen that wondrous things are possible when we act with God's grace, end quote. Now, what is he talking about here if he knows these things have been steered and maneuvered? Good question, huh? Bush said this in his weekly radio address. Quote, from the rubble of destroyed homes, we can see the beginnings of vibrant new neighborhoods. And what are they going to be, listeners? Sustainable communities. From the despair of lives torn asunder, we can see the hope of rebirth. And from the depths of darkness, we can see a bright dawn emerging over the Gulf Coast and the great city of New Orleans, end quote. What's he talking about here? Order out of chaos. Order out of chaos. The president has begun turning more frequently to religious language. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco also invoked God in the Democrats' weekly broadcast. Quote, I speak for a grateful state to thank people across our nation who have lifted Louisiana in their time of need. Your generosity and support renews our faith in God and in the human spirit, end quote. But was this weather anomaly an act of God, or was it steered and directed? And if it is steered and directed, why wasn't it steered away from harm's way? They want to devastate us, listeners. There is the point. Devastation, the design, the direction. If they can be steered, they can be steered away from population. And there's the point. As the callers are lining up again, we see weather modification a long established, though secretive reality by Mary Sue Halliburton. I don't know whether she has a connection to the real Halliburtons that are taking the rebuilding effort in Louisiana and New Orleans seriously. In other parts of the world, Halliburton. And she says the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Act was set forward in Bill S-517 on March 3rd, 2005, and is to take effect on 1 October 2005. This act sets up an 11-member board of directors to oversee all the research on weather control and direct funding to projects. She says there are several gray areas, such as, and for other purposes, and other vague phrases that periodically appear in the text. Some wording raises concern, such as under Section 5, duties, and the following states. Assessments and evaluations of the efficiency of weather modification, both purposeful, including cloud seeding operations, and inadvertent, including downwind effects and anthropogenic effects. The word anthropogenic refers to, quote, the origin and evolution of humans, end quote. In other words, the act is going to allow weather experimentation that includes treating humans as guinea pigs and noting any evolutionary, probably genetic changes will merely be part of data collection. Since she deals with technology transfer, we'll continue on the other side. Second hour of American Expo Day about to begin. I'm Chris Turner. Stay with us.